third of the passage this morning. And so let's begin at verse number 20 in God's Word today. The Bible says here, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, bless us and guide us, Lord, as we look these next few moments and just teach thy word. And God, I pray that you'd just give us something, Lord, that we can glean for our life. Give us some wisdom, Lord, from thy word today that, Lord, encourages us to walk in a wise path for our life. We know the world does not provide the wise path, but we know that you do. We know that your word is the source of wisdom. So, Lord, we ask you to bless it this morning and give us something from thy word, we pray, in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, we are looking in the book of Proverbs at the wisdom of Solomon. And, of course, much of the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. And this passage of Scripture is, and most of the book of Proverbs is Solomon with the wisdom of guiding and directing the people of the children of Israel in wise judgment. Going back to Solomon when he was young, the Lord gave him the chance to ask for anything he wanted, and Solomon asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. He asked for wisdom. And of course, God gave him that wisdom. And by the way, the wisdom brought the wealth also. And the wisdom brought the other good things also. It was a picture of God's blessing him because he wanted to prioritize wisdom in his own heart, in his life. So as Solomon was being asking God for wisdom, he also, you remember the king in the Old Testament was also the judge. And so people would come before the king with matters, and the king needed this wisdom to rightly define and rightly understand how to judge matters wisely and with equity. And so so the king here, I believe these truths are tidbits of wisdom that God has given Solomon as he judges the people. And as God gives him this wisdom, and this wisdom is wisdom that God inspired in his word. See, we believe the Bible is God's inspired holy word. It's not a mistake. It's not some man's opinion writing the Bible or writing the words of the Bible. This is God's inspired word. And so God gave us these words. And so from it, we glean what God wants through the wisdom of Solomon to understand our life and the importance of wisdom in our life. And I think we spent, probably at least 30 weeks just walking through Proverbs and just kind of really taking our time and trying to digest some of the truths that are here, because these truths are perfect for everyday life, aren't they? You know, if you can't use something in everyday life, it really isn't that beneficial. But if you can take something from God's Word and you can place it into your Mondays or your Thursdays, and you can place it into your Saturdays, then it becomes beneficial, and that is where the blessings of the Lord come out. And the wisdom of Solomon is meant to change our thinking in our decision making in life from just our own wisdom to understanding, digesting the wisdom principle, and then applying it in our life when we run into a situation in life. So that's the intent, and that's the purpose of the Book of Solomon. And so let's look at some of them. Let's break some of them down here, beginning with verse number 20. So let's start here, verse 20. The Bible says here, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." All right, now I wrote this down about the verse. Simply, counsel is beneficial. Counsel is beneficial. It's wise to get wise, godly counsel, especially when you run into a situation that you don't know what to do. I find this oftentimes when we're in the middle of a difficult situation, we're so emotionally involved in it that oftentimes it's hard to really know what wisdom we need in the situation. Or sometimes a situation will make us upset or anger, and we'll act out of anger in making the decision that we should, and it doesn't benefit us. And it certainly doesn't honor the Lord. So he's saying here, all right, when something happens in life or you don't know what to do, get counsel. It's beneficial. Now, I'll say this. You know, the preaching that goes on from the pulpit is the best counsel you can get. Amen? Amen? That's why you stay under preaching of the Word of God. Get under an old-fashioned Bible preacher who preaches the Word of God like God put it in His Word. That's the best advice you could ever have. But there are also specific situations in our life that we need specific counsel on. Certain things that preaching, because preaching often covers a more general understanding, but a specific problem oftentimes can be only understood through getting wise counsel. For example, what if I'm trying to make a decision for my life on what I should do, and I don't necessarily have a specific Bible verse or a specific Bible plan of what to do. There's no pattern, maybe. What do you do? Oftentimes in life, it's best to just get counsel. Now, let me say about this. First of all, the Bible encourages us to find many counselors. Many counselors. And secondly, find godly counselors. Find somebody who's going to instruct you in the ways of the Bible. And here's the wisdom of that. The wisdom of that is you can either resort to man's understanding or you can resort to God's understanding. Which one do you think's the wisest? Amen? How often in life, though, have we resorted to our own understanding and we defied, went against the Bible principle? And like the old saying is, how'd that work out for you in life? Right? So this wisdom settles into us sometimes when we say, all right, I ought to talk to somebody about this. I'll never forget the time when my wife and I were first married. We needed a car. I had an old car and an old Pontiac Bonneville. Anybody have one of those? I'm sorry if you did, but I had one. It got me through Bible college, but by the time I got through Bible college, it was on its last leg. And we got married, and we limped along in that old Bonneville, We needed a car. It was shot. And my dad was pretty good at buying cars. And so I said, this was the first car I had to go out and buy. I went into a place. We found a car we liked. And I called my dad. And I said, Dad, we need to buy a car. This is the car we're looking at. It was a dark blue Oldsmobile. They don't even make Oldsmobile anymore. That's out the door. It got too old. But anyhow, some of you missed that. Some of you missed it on purpose. But Dad, tell me what you think about this Oldsmobile. This is the price. Here's the payments and yada, yada, yada. And you know what my dad said? He said, well, you could do that if you wanted, but we were thinking of giving you our car. Well, I like those payments. Those payments were pretty good. And the only difference was he had a light blue Oldsmobile instead of a dark blue Oldsmobile. I said, nah, it's not dark blue, so I wasn't interested. No, you know, when I got off the phone with my dad, I thought, wow, I'm glad I asked somebody their advice. I'm glad I didn't just resort to my own mind on it. Now, I could have made the decision on my own, and it may not have necessarily been bad. But I do think there's something that God says when he says, get some counsel sometimes. And by the way, getting counsel does not necessarily mean your advice was bad or what you were thinking about doing in a situation was necessarily wrong. What it is it's resorting to someone who's outside of that situation to give us a better understanding and a better window into decisions that we're going to make. And that is the wisdom that is in the Bible. Okay, now look at the last part of the verse. Notice what it says. Verse 20, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise, notice, in thy latter end. Now, not all counsel is going to benefit us in the beginning. Right? Not all counsel in the beginning is the best. But down the road, he's saying, in thy end. And here's what he's trying to teach. He's trying to teach us, do not live life just in an impulsive way. Don't make decisions in life impulsively. Get counsel. Think about how that situation will end up. And I believe God will give us wisdom to see how a situation or a decision in our life will end up if we go to God and ask Him for that wisdom. And so this is what Solomon, I believe, is encouraging us to do. He's saying, now, you could make an initial decision now, or you could say, all right, I think I want to wait to see the latter end. I heard a preacher use an illustration one time. He said, I'm going to give you a dollar. He gave a dollar to a boy down here on the front row. And he said, now, you can take that dollar and go spend it on whatever you want. Or, if you save that dollar, 50 years from now, I'll give you $1,000 for it. He had a decision to make, didn't he? That was quite a decision. Well, the preacher knew 50 years from now I wouldn't even be alive. Deceitful preachers, man, you got to watch out for them. But, you know, it illustrates the importance in our life of making decisions that benefit us down the road and not necessarily today. Sometimes we have to make decisions that are hard today in order that they might benefit us in that latter end. Because Scripture teaches us wisdom of counsel is to look at the latter end. Look at where it's going to lead us. And look at what it's going to accomplish in our life. And so that's the wisdom of counsel. And that is why it's beneficial. And I like this. Now, he goes on verse 21 and he dovetails these two verses together. He says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So a wise Christian is realizing, I've got a lot of false motives or selfish motives in my heart when I make a decision. But Lord, help me to make a decision in accordance to the counsel of the Lord. And that, of course, is the Word of God. That's following the Word. And that Word works out well in our life. And you know, I think this is where faith comes in. Faith in the Word is that today it may not be my benefactor, but tomorrow will be my benefactor. It will be a blessing in my life. So this is what he's saying about counsel. It's beneficial for you and I to always get counsel. And don't ever be afraid to just get somebody's advice on something. You say, now, wait a minute, Pastor. What if I get somebody's advice on something and it's bad advice? Well, first of all, if it's advice that follows Scripture in its context, then it's good advice. You catch that? If it's advice that follows Scripture in its context, it's good advice. If it's Scripture that just benefits our flesh or our selfish desires, it's probably going to be bad advice. And I think there's also wisdom in the multitude of counselors, because if one perhaps may not be understanding the situation in the right way, others may and others will. And so the Bible's teaching us, find godly counselors, find godly Christians. Find somebody who loves God, who believes the Word of God, and will give you advice that goes along with the Word of God in your life, because that's the advice that God says will stand. It stands. It has this idea that it's solid, it's maintaining, it won't end. That advice is good, solid, and true advice. So that is the idea and the benefit of counsel. We've talked about this, but this is what God is saying. So suffice it to say, be a Christian who can find the need for counsel. All right, let's move on. Verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Now, I think he's talking about here, he's weighing the difference here between how somebody tries to get ahead in life, or how somebody is maybe trying to climb a ladder. We all meet these people. And really, there's nothing wrong with being a Christian who has an ambition to try to accomplish some things in life. I think ambition is good, but ambition can also lead us in the wrong direction too. So we have to temper it with God's Word. We have to understand there are parameters that help keep our ambition in the good path, in a good way. And so I think he's comparing a man who's trying to be ambitious and trying to accomplish something, and he's saying, okay, here's a man who's kind, a man of kindness, and a man of poverty. He's poor. He doesn't have anything. He said, now these two men, a man of kindness and a man of poverty, are much better than a man who's a liar, who's trying to get somewhere, climb a ladder by telling lies. Have you ever met anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. Amen. But I think there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, they have no scruples about how their ambitions are going to get them to a good place. And can I say, first of all, always do the right thing in every situation, because that will enable you and I to do well so much better than if we impulsively try to get there in the wrong way. And God warns us about that. I think this man here who's a liar, I think he fits this bill of an impulsive man. He can't wait. He can't allow his character over time to prove his ability. He wants what he wants impulsively, so he's got to lie to get there. And he's climbing ladders. And the problem with lying is this. Here's a guy who, he may lag behind with character, but he slowly increases. And the guy who lies, man, he may jump up in the beginning. But what happens? This guy begins to overtake. But this guy gets to a place where his lies catch up to him, right? And what happens? He ends up back here. And who actually ends up ahead? It's the guy that was steady, faithful, hardworking. That's the kind of guy that will succeed and do well in life. And so it's worth it to not live our lives in this mode or in this way. A lot of people get in that mode. Sometimes Christians follow in that mode. They want to accomplish, maybe get that job or get in that position quickly and impulsively. And I'm not saying quickly is wrong. I'm just saying how you get there is going to be so much better when it's done in God's way. Amen. And it's done with the right kind of heart, the right kind of character. And I think that's what the verse is teaching us. There's this comparison here of two different methods of getting ahead. And it never benefits us as a Christian to impulsively try to get somewhere in the wrong way, in the wrong fashion. God's teaching us, trust in me, walk with me, do right, be faithful, be hardworking. And what happens? God blesses that man. Doesn't even Scripture teach us the faithful man shall abound with blessings? Faithfulness is the key to everything we do in life. And you know what? You know what I like about faithfulness? Even dumb people like me can be faithful. Amen? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be faithful. You just have to understand this is what God wants me to do. And that faithfulness is enough to garner the blessings of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a blessing. Well, let's move on. All right? Let's move on. Here we go. Verse number 23. Verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Well, I think that dovetails this verse 22 also. But it's talking about the fear of the Lord. In other words, there's this godly respect that a Christian should have to God's word and his principles. And it's, you know, fear of the Lord is not this fear of like, it's a different fear than like fearing the dark or fearing something bad happening to you or fearing, you know, somebody breaking into your house. That's not the idea here. The idea is that I understand there's a righteous and holy God and that I'm his child and that I have a great respect to understand that I need to walk in the light of his holiness in his life. And this is a personal responsibility that we place on our own selves. Because we love God, because we know that God is holy and he's righteous. And in that light, it causes us to make decisions in our life where we prioritize this fear of the Lord. In other words, we say, Lord, this is what you want me to do, so I'm going to do that regardless of what other things happen in life. And those things, God honors that. God blesses that. It's not always easy to do that. But there is should reside in every Christian this understanding of the fear of the Lord. But what does it do? Notice what Scripture says. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Does it tend to death? Does it tend to bad things in our life? No, God says it tends to life. It gives it ignites life in our soul. And the next part of the verse, he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now, contrast this with the man who has no fear of God. When you have no fear of God, you have no limitation in your own heart as to what evil you could get involved in, or as to what selfish purpose you could follow. There's no parameters. It's all about myself and what I want. And when that takes root in us and we try to live our life in that mentality, what happens? It's going to bring us into trouble. Satan uses that in our life to trap us, to ensnare us in things that hold us in his grip, and it doesn't tend to life. It tends to entrapment. You know, the devil likes nothing more than somebody who's just has none of God's principles in their heart. They're just doing whatever feels good in life, whatever I can do, you know, to feel good. And what does that bring? It brings them trouble. It brings them chains, doesn't it? It brings them spiritual slavery. And so God's saying, all right, there's a better way to live. Live in the fear of the Lord. When you're living in the fear of the Lord, you are going to take great respect for his principles in his word. And you're going to do your best to try to apply these to our hearts, in our minds. We're going to try to understand them with our mind and obey them with our heart, because we have this understanding that a wise Christian is going to have a fear for the Lord. And through that is going to bring the joy and the blessings of life. And by the way, that rubs off on our family too. That rubs off on our kids. When we as dads are walking with the Lord, you know, what's that going to do? Our children are going to see that. That's going to become a pattern in their life. And it's going to make their life easier when they see a pattern. You know, whenever a lady makes a dress, is it easier to have a pattern, lady? I don't know. I've never made a dress. Okay. But isn't it easier to have a pattern to make the dress rather than just do it yourself? Am I right? I knew I was right. Okay. But it's the same in our life. When we have patterns of wisdom, it helps us so much easier to have in our life someone we can look at and follow. And when we incorporate this fear of the Lord, we're not only being a blessing to our life, but we're creating a pattern in somebody else's life where they can follow it and please the Lord in their life too. Amen? And that's what I love about Scripture is, it doesn't just accomplish one thing. Scripture, following Scripture doesn't just accomplish one thing in our life. It doesn't just accomplish the thing that it sets out. there are so many byproducts, if you will, of serving the Lord and taking upon our heart the principles, that it makes us realize that serving the Lord is the way to live in our life and always live our life best we can for the Lord. All right, so let's move on now. Are you still with me? All right. Anyone frozen out there? Is it getting warmer? Getting a little better? Okay, all right, good. Okay, let's go on. Verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Okay, so we have here a picture of, okay, a family, a father and a mother and a son. And a son is listening to the wrong instruction, according to verse 27. This instruction is causing him to err from the words of knowledge, to err away from knowledge. I'll tell you, we live in a world today that is bombarding our kids with lies. We live in this world. The transgender stuff. Let me tell you something. They're lying to our children. They're lying. God did not make you what you woke up today and thought you might want to be. God made you the same gender that you are from the beginning of your life to the rest of your life. Amen. You are what God made you to be. It's a lie. Now, here's the understanding of the passage is that oftentimes the lies of this son that he listens to conflict with his mother and his father. And oftentimes he says, I'm going to follow the knowledge. Really, it's worldly knowledge. It's ungodly knowledge. It's a knowledge that will leave them into the wrong path, the wrong mentality. When you have the wrong mentality, it'll affect your heart, your life. And, you know, I think there's a lot of depressed people today because they have not followed God's word. God's word is the key to avoiding a depressed life. I'll say that again so the psychiatrists out there can understand what I just said, right? But living a godly life is the key to avoiding a depressed life. And we're bombarded today with lies that cause our young people to err. And they conflict with the home and the family. And so the instruction here is to the son, to the young person who says, all right, you have erred from the words of knowledge. You have erred from the words of knowledge. And this is sad. Now, can I say, first of all, one of the great keys to raising children is just be faithful to church. Bombard them with truth so that error cannot take root. Does that make sense? Keep them, and even though they're bombarded with truth, they'll have a hard enough time in the wicked world we live in, because the world's going to try to bombard too. And we have media that bombards them, social media, television, internet, all these things are conflicting with truth and what's right. And it conflicts in the home because here is exemplified in this passage. There's a young man, he's following instruction that causes him to err. Somebody's teaching him this stuff. Somebody's getting this stuff in his brain. You know, they started teaching sex education in public schools. That's reserved for the home. That's a parent's duty. That's not school's duty. Because what happens is it becomes twisted because it's not based on knowledge of the Word of God, and becomes twisted. And what's happening? The young people are believing this, and it's causing them to err from the right knowledge. Best thing you can do is find every avenue of this world that you can keep your child from. You can't keep them from all of it. You can't. But find every avenue that you can and keep it from it. And give them truth in their life. Give them the Word of God. Because that foothold is a foothold of peace and happiness. It's satisfaction of life. And what does the world bring? Unhappiness, destruction, a destroyed life. And you know, once the devil destroys a life, he likes to hold on to that life and leave them in despair. And I'm kind of preaching on that this morning. But the devil likes that despair. But, you know, only in God can there be real hope of living life every day. And I believe it's important to teach our kids the word of knowledge. That way, when Satan, teach them scripture. That way, when Satan comes against them, tries to attack them with instruction that causes them to err, they will have something to fight that off with. They will have knowledge that says, no, that's not true. I don't believe that. I will not accept that. Because they've already been given truth and wisdom in their life. You know, the devil is a master of getting footholds and getting strongholds in Scripture. In other words, areas where he not only brings a person, but he holds a person, called a stronghold. The devil is the master of that. And once he gets people in that, there creates a hopelessness and a defeat and a despair. Do you realize suicide is higher than it's ever been in society? Why? We have everything we want. We have never had as great of an advanced society as we do now. But why is... Because let me tell you something, advanced society won't bring satisfaction and peace. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring that into the life of a person. So the Word of God is key. And you know, the old devil, one of these strongholds is to say that you don't need God, you don't need truth. All you need is just this life. If you can have a job, make lots of money, that's all you need. There's nothing more. Why do millionaires commit suicide? I heard about the man that won the Ohio lottery. $28 million. $28 million. The neighbors one day of his house, bought a big house on the Ohio River there. The neighbor, there was a bunch of cars over there, had a big party at this house of the guy that won the Ohio lottery. And the neighbors saw the cars, but it got quiet. There was nobody there for days. And all these cars were parked in front of the guy's house. They went in and they called the police and said, hey, there's no... The police went in there. Almost all those people were overdosed on dope and drugs in that house. And the guy that won the Ohio lottery died, killed himself, overdosed, left $28 million in the bank. What kind of a life is that? He should have given it to us. We could build a building with it. Amen. But, you know, wisdom and money do not always go together. Amen. So there's some principles here in that fighter family. And I'll tell you what, parenting is harder today than it ever has been before because of the bombardment of instruction that causes our children to err from the truth. the bombardment. So a wise Christian and wise parenting is keep them away from all that. And some parents say, well, I want them to be socially smart. Hey, get them in church with other kids. Amen? That's a good social environment right there. Get them around good, godly kids. That is keeping them from the knowledge. You say, is there some things you want your kids to be dumb about? Yep. I want my kids to be dumb about certain things. I want to be dumb about certain things. You know, that's called wisdom. We're supposed to be wise concerning that which is good and simple according to that which is evil. I don't want to know what goes on in some of these stuff. I don't want to know. You say, oh, if you know, you can maybe help somebody. Yeah, the devil could also use that to trap me too. So I don't want to know it. I'll resort to God's wisdom on that. And if God says there's some things to remain simple, I'll just stay simple about it. And so God's wisdom is this thing where it requires us to have this godly respect for God's word and his principles. And if we, with the grace of God in our heart, will say, yep, I'm gonna follow God's word, then it'll bless our life. It'll cause good things to come in our life. And that pattern will come to good our children in life. Amen? And so let's give our all to it. Amen? And see what God will do in our life. Okay, we'll stop right there today for the sake of time. And we'll pick up on chapter 20 here next week. And so hope you go home. Hope you'll just dig into it and read it ahead of time and find some good truths in there. Let's pray. Lord, we love you.